This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the old trailblazer, coming back again at this time with another message from God's Word, and we're looking at a study now on the soon coming or the soon return of our blessed Lord. And we've been there several studies now, and we're looking at the certainty of His coming. You know the Lord's coming back, my friend. The ever place you turn in God's Word, the old prophets, they told of the second coming of our Lord or the soon coming of our Lord. And then let's look. But let me give you this information. We here at the Trailblazer broadcast also have the Voice of Truth broadcast every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 here on our local station, WLNO, and then the Bible School of the Air at 10 and Worship Hour at 11. And those services are streaming now over the Internet. And that Internet address is www.wlno.com. If you have a computer and a telephone there, wherever you are, you can pick it up. If you need more information, just call me or write me. I'll be glad to send it to you. Let's look back at the coming of our Lord. We saw there that night of all nights, as He sat with His disciples at the Last Supper. Isn't that a beautiful picture? The Last Supper. And He ate the feast of the Passover with them, instituting the Lord's Supper. He noticed that they were troubled, no doubt. They seemed to want to talk with Him about their troubled hearts. They didn't understand what all that was taking place. But they knew they were facing an hour that they had never faced before. Now, my friend, many times, God's child, you and I who know the Lord, we are anxious about many things. Things are uncertain in our lives. I'm facing things now that nobody knows anything about. And I have to go to the Lord, and I ask the Lord to search my heart and to try my heart and to give me grace to look to Him day by day. I don't know if you have those days or not, my friend. But listen, salvation is not just a pie in the sky. No, sir, my friend. Everything was uncertain to these here at that time, His disciples. They were coming to the climax of that tragical time. Then He turned to them and said, with all the tenderness and pathos of a heart of love that went out to those who He was soon to leave. Now, listen. I believe that every child of God who stands behind the holy pulpit and bring God's message should be endowed and endued with that tender spirit and kind heart of love. I do. And I love it when the Lord gives me that compassion. Many times He lets me, as it were, romp and stomp sometimes, put my finger on problems and step on folks' toes. But I love it when He gives me that quiet and gentle spirit. And let's look at it here. He said to His disciples, those in the room there with Him, in the upper room, He said, let not your heart be troubled. Now, I use this verse many, many times in consoling those who are bereaved. But my friend, listen. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. Now, we're going to look at others. We're going to look at the rest of that verse in a moment. But listen, it seemed that He raised His eyes, no doubt, towards heaven. That's just my own apprehension. And listen, He continued, in My Father's house are many mansions. Isn't that grace to tell those young, those preachers there and those disciples, in My house are many mansions? He meant He had room. If it were not so, I would have told you. And now listen, I go to prepare a place for you. Our Lord went home, back to heaven, to prepare a place. And I often think about that. He can speak worlds into existence. But He said, I go to prepare a place. You know why? Because I believe heaven will be a prepared place for a prepared people. The Lord, in bringing the sinner down and saving the sinner, prepares that heart to receive that prepared place. Oh, I don't know what it'll be. I don't know, but my friend, it's not important to me. But I do take hope and take assurance that the Lord prepared it. And then He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a comforting words. I will come again. I will receive you. Oh, listen, that word receive means to take you by force. You know why? Because we're living in Satan's kingdom, my friend. In other words, He says, I'm coming back someday at an appointed time, and I'm going to kidnap you out of Satan's territory. Listen, I'll take you by force, if it's necessary, out of this world. I'll take you unto Myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now, we could spend the rest of our time right there thinking about being with the Lord. Oh, I know, I hear sermons now, funeral sermons, where the individual stands and talks about, you know, one day you go to meet mother, one day you go to meet papa, one day you go to meet that lost, that infant child. But my friend, we're not going there to see those folks. No, we're going there to see our blessed Lord, the one who bought our pardon, who paid our sin debt. And we're going there to see Him. And we'll spend our eternity thanking the Lord, seeing the Lord, looking upon His face. But can you imagine what it's going to be to look upon the face of our Lord? Oh, we have these pictures, folks have dreamed up what He looks like. Some of them with a long beard, some of them with no beard, all of those things. And the artist tries to portray compassion in His eyes. And they can't do that, my friend. No. But listen, we'll see Him as He is. He says, I'll take you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Shortly after these things, He was betrayed in the garden by one of His disciples, old Judas Iscariot. He who sat there. Do you know my heart goes out to Judas? It does, my friend. No child of God can hold hatred in his heart for anybody. Judas was an instrument prepared by the Lord. The Bible says that all things work together. Did you know that? For our good. That's right. For those who are the called according to His elect. Listen, after Judas betrayed Him, they brought Him before His judges. There He stood in the morning, mocked, spit upon, with a rope around His neck, as it were, led as a lamb to the slaughter, standing there on the threshold facing death as a substitute. Now, my friend, is that your idea of the Lord Jesus Christ? There, the lowly Nazarene, the lowly one dying on Calvary's cross as a common thief? That's what a lot of folks think, my friend. And listen, He was facing death as a sinner's sin offering. Is He your sin offering, my friend? He's mine. As Abraham brought Isaac there to the Mount Moriah, we saw a day or two ago in our study, and Isaac said, Father, here's the fire, and here's the wood, and there's the altar, but where is the offering? Where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, the Lord will provide. And here we see that providing on Calvary's cross, facing death as a sin offering, facing Calvary as our representative, my friend. He represented me and you. He said, you shall see me sitting on the right hand of power, coming in clouds of heaven. He told His disciples that. Wherever you met the Master, He was always referring to His second coming, my friend. Yes, they crucified Him, laid Him in the grave that Wednesday afternoon. Saturday evening at sundown, He arose from the grave. For 40 days and nights, He showed Himself to His disciples. They knew without the shadow of a doubt that it was the same Jesus who was crucified. On the 40th day, He walked out to the Mount of Olives with His disciples. Standing there in a semicircle, He was taken to heaven and received out of sight with the cloud. And they stood there gazing into heaven until He was lost to their view. And all at once, suddenly, there stood in their midst two heavenly messengers dressed in white. Now I want you to listen to what they said. Their attention was drawn to those two heavenly visitors, angels, if you will, who addressed His disciples in these words, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, now my friend, that's our hope, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Notice those words. The same Jesus. Not someone else. Not a representative. But this same Jesus. This same Jesus who was born as a baby there in Bethlehem. This same Jesus who at the age of 12 astounded the doctors. This same Jesus who was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. And was baptized with the Holy Spirit from heaven. This same Jesus who fasted 40 days and nights and was tempted in the wilderness by Satan and walked out victorious. This same Jesus who for 3 years, 3.5 years, walked up and down the shores of Galilee over the hills of Judea through the city of Jerusalem. This same Jesus who never met a funeral, but he broke it up. He cleansed the leper. He healed the sick. He forgave the sinner. It was he who washed the harlot clean, who preached the gospel to the poor. Yes, this same Jesus who was betrayed by Judas, led captive by his own people, who bore the cross from Pilate's court to Golgotha's hill. This same Jesus who died on the cross as our substitute, who was buried as our scapegoat, and rose again as our justifier. This same Jesus who stood in the midst of his disciples the night after his resurrection and held forth his scarred hand, his badge of identification. This same Jesus who walked with his disciples out to Mount Olivet and then went back to heaven shall come again as he went away. Yes, he shall come in like manner as he went away. He went away in a cloud. He'll come back in a cloud. As Revelation 1:17 said, behold, he cometh with clouds. He went away in bodily form. He'll come back in bodily form. His disciples saw him when he went away. Bless your heart. We'll see him when he comes back. Oh, let's praise the name of the Lord. Our hearts rise with rapture and ecstatic joy when we think of his return. Now, my friend, I'm not looking for an event. I'm looking for the personal return of my Lord. I'm not so concerned about how he shall come back, but I want to see him, my beloved, the joy of my heart, the object of my love, my Redeemer. I want to see the one who died for me, my friend. I want to see the God who's been so patient with me, so long-suffering, and one who could go to the cross there and shed his blood and die. One who has shed forth his love in my heart. Give me a new heart. Wash me in his blood. No wonder men all through the ages have died for him. Those old martyrs back there, my friend, we don't have them anymore, do we? No, sir. No, sir. He walked up and down the shores of Galilee, called men, and left them at his feet crying, my Lord and my God. Now, that's who's coming back, my friend. That's the certainty of his coming. And in our next study, we're going to look at the surety of his coming. He says, I will come again, my friend. I will come again. And we're going to look there in our next study. I hope you're enjoying these studies. I wish you'd think about it. Be serious about your soul. The Lord's coming back soon, my friend. Oh, you may be going through trials and tribulations, my sinner. Friend, you whom the Lord has dealt with, or maybe you God's child this morning, suffering persecution, suffering from heartaches and those things. But look up. Would you look up? Our redemption draweth nigh. That's what the Lord says. He says, to persevere until I come, he tells us. And he says, there'll be nothing put upon you that you're not able to bear, my friend. I wish you could just take heart this morning. Look to the Lord. This is the old trailblazer. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis. Let me hear from you, would you? Pray for me and help me with the broadcast. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.